Republican legislators in Wisconsin have been ordered to redraw the latest map of state legislature districts after federal judges found the districts unconstitutional, gerrymandered to favor Republican candidates. Since the state is appealing that decision, this case could go to the Supreme Court this year. And the Wisconsin case is one of many battles over allegedly partisan district lines taking place around the country right now. There are others unfolding in Texas, North Carolina, and elsewhere. What does a gerrymandered district look like? Well, here's one hint. If the district looks more like a salamander or some other Rorschach ink blot, it might have been drawn to favor one party over another. If it's more round, chances are it's fair. And my next guest wants to train mathematicians to bring mathematical logic to the shape of fairness, train them as expert witnesses in court cases where judges must rule on the fairness of a district. Moon Duchin, Associate Professor of Mathematics and Director of the Science, Technology, and Society Program at Tufts University in Medford, Massachusetts, is working on that. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you. Hi.
How do we train mathematicians, and why do we need mathematicians to be expert witnesses for gerrymandering cases?
Well, I'd say that the standard of compactness for congressional districts is really elusive, and courts have said so repeatedly. We've had justices saying that we know a bizarre, irrational shape when we see it, but we don't know what precisely should the threshold be, which makes a shape too tortured or irregular or unreasonable. And mathematicians, geometers like me, we study this. And so we think we might have something to say that's helpful in making an intervention into deciding when a shape looks a little bit too strange to be fair.
You talked about this idea called compactness. Is that how you measure the gerrymandering, whether it's a fair or not?
Well, the word compactness appears a lot. It appears in many states, state constitutions. It's not in the U.S. Constitution, but it's become a traditional districting principle. So courts look to see that a shape is compact. Well, they would, except the problem is nobody knows what it means. So there are competing, there's just dozens of competing possible definitions of compactness, and that cacophony of definitions has been one of the problems. So one of the things I think mathematicians can contribute is a sense of what the definitions have in common at a deeper level, some sort of deeper structure that shows you what makes a shape seem weird to the eye.
Give us a little, we like to talk math on Science Friday, give us a little idea, a little more in depth of how you measure the compactness mathematically.
Well, absolutely. So one of the popular ideas, which I think is the first thing that your standard geometer would propose if you were to ask the question in the street, is an isoparametric ratio. So that looks at the area compared to the perimeter. And if you want to make a good score out of that, you should really compare the area to the perimeter squared so that you get something that's invariant under scale. Because after all, we're looking for something that measures a shape and not its size. A bigger and a smaller shape should come out about the same or exactly the same. So area to perimeter squared is a really classic score, and we've known for a very long time, thousands of years actually, that circles are optimal for this kind of isoparametric ratio. That wasn't actually proved till the late 19th century, but it was written about as long ago as Virgil's Aeneid. So that's one thing you might do, but there are many others. In particular, you might think that a score that favors circles might not be the best because circles don't pack together to make nice congressional districts in a state.
Yeah.
So another thing you could do, and something that my group is really thinking about, is dispersion. You could look at average distance. You could ask the voters in the state how far apart are they from each other, or how long would they have to travel to get to a town hall and yell at their congressman in person. I like to think that one's pretty accessible.
Let me remind everybody that this is Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International, talking with Moon Duchin about compactness of gerrymandered districts. Are judges looking for a measurement? Do they welcome, an independent, the mathematicians who might independently come in and help them rule on the district?
Well, I found that mathematicians haven't made their way into the courtroom very often. So we've seen a lot of statistical arguments advanced with various degrees of success, but we're not seeing a whole lot of geometry in the courtroom. And I think that one reason is that if you look at the history, you'll see some skepticism. You'll see the courts asking for just one measure. If there are all these different ones and they're all a little bit different, the court feels that, you know, there's a thicket there. So one thing I'd like to try to train mathematicians in how to talk about is that these days there's been a breakthrough recently in our ability to take many scores into account at once. And it's actually, you know, computers have been a double-edged sword for redistricting. On one hand, they give you the ability to make more and more precise gerrymanders. But on the other hand, now, recently, for the first time, they give you the ability to detect gerrymanders. So these days, there are powerful supercomputer algorithms that can take multiple compactness scores into account and do what I like to call mind reading with supercomputers. Mm. They can look around in the space of alternative maps and figure out if a map that's in place, like, say, the current maps in North Carolina or Wisconsin, is it an outlier among comparably good maps that all have compactness scores that are as good, equal population, preserve communities of interest, and all the other traditional districting principles. Mm. If the current map really stands out among 10,000 alternatives, that's probably a red flag.
Now, you're training mathematicians to become good expert witnesses. How do you know that the mathematicians who take these workshops will actually be called as expert witnesses?
Yeah, that's a great question. So one thing that we're doing is we're working together across disciplinary lines. So it's not just mathematicians, but we have political scientists, law scholars, and litigators that are involved. So we've been working closely in particular with a wonderful nonprofit based in D.C. called the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. And they actually file a lot of these voting rights cases. And so by partnering with litigators who know what we're about and who can help us think about useful training, we think we'll be able to provide a big bench of new people to diversify the expert witness pool and to sort of be available to be on hand in this landscape right now with so many voting rights cases coming forward.
If some mathematics folks want to get involved, how do they get involved with you or get the training?
Right, great question. So we're actually running, in August, we're running a training at Tufts, at my home institution, but then we have regional trainings that we'll be running in some of the very states we've been talking about. We're going to Wisconsin and then North Carolina. We're going to Texas and California. And if folks want to find out more about what we're doing, we have a website. It's sites.tufts.edu/gerrymander. With no final E, G-E-R-R-Y-M-A-N-D-R, gerrymander. And you can probably find it by Googling.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're called the Geometry of Redistricting Summer School. My working group is called the Metric Geometry and Gerrymandering Group. And we'll be working for the next few years getting ready for the 2020 census to get the word out and get lots of people trained and try to really mobilize the math community to speak up and have a voice in redistricting.
Well, as this gets going on, we'll have you back on, okay, Moon?
Terrific.
Moon Duchin, Associate Professor of Math at Tufts University in Medford.